You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's Wednesday night. This is the first edition of the Wednesday Night American Whiner. My name is Alex, and welcome to the show. I'm running the board tonight, so I'm going to stop the music and all that good stuff here. I think I've got, all the stuff for the board is working. And I think we're ready to go. So, yeah, it happened. I said I wanted to do the show weekly, and now it's happening. I'm here on Wednesday night at 7. We're going to be doing this as long as I can afford it. So I'm going to be on Mondays. I'll be on next Monday. I've already got a guest lined up. And I'm on tonight with my very good friend, Chris Nelson. Hi, Chris.
How are you, Alex?
I'm great. It's so good to have friends here, man. Like, I've really enjoyed the interviews I've done. But I was like, you know, I just want to get on with some of my buddies and just, you know, whine like we do anyway. You know, we
like do on the way over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were whining about everything, the human race itself and traffic and you know, all sorts of stuff. I wasn't really sure like how to go about it. The way I do this is, if anybody listens to the Monday podcast, I usually start off the show by asking the musician, you know, about their life and career, and I start by asking them where they were born and stuff. And I was like, you know, I thought about doing that with my friends, but I thought it might be better just to see what happens, just to kind of wing it and just talk like we usually do. But I did think what would be smart is to start off the show by explaining to everybody how we know each other and how we met originally. Now, I've known you since high school. I've known you for about 17 years now.
2004, maybe?
Yeah, it was. It was winter 2004, and we were in Kiss Me, Kate together, The high school drama production of Kiss Me, Kate. And we were on different casts playing. Like, if anybody's familiar with the show Kiss Me, Kate, there's these two gangsters that harass the main character over this debt that another character made them think he owes. And the characters don't have names. They're just referred to as the first man and the second man. Yep. You played the first man in one cast, and I played the second man in another cast. And that was how we met. I remember, the first time that I, like, we sort of... Like, the first memory I have of you really is where we were doing music rehearsals, and I remember during the read through in the Auxiliary Commons, whatever the hell it was, that Auxiliary
when
Theater.
We first got the script.
Yeah, off of the Commons there, you were reading your lines, and you were like terrified. You're in front of everybody, like you were doing good. But, like, your face was getting all red and stuff, and I was like...
I don't remember. I don't remember being nervous. Well, I was probably... I did it with the accent, though, didn't I?
Yeah, we had to have New York accents for it.
I was nervous, because I didn't know whether it was good. Which is funny, because half the stuff I act in, I have to be a gangster now. So it's, like, the same type of character.
That's right, yeah. And we could talk about that, too. We can talk about, like, what you've got going on right now.
Okay.
But yeah, that was... And then I remember you... Because we had a song. It was a big deal, because we got to... Our characters got to have a song, and it was like the second to last song in the show, called Brush Up Your Shakespeare, and you like wanted to rehearse it, and your partner wasn't available for some reason, and so
we were in the Commons, right, and we practiced, and I suck at dancing, man, that's not my forte, so I was just like walking across back. That's awful.
Yeah. So that's how we met, and then we just started hanging out. I remember the first time, like, we were at somebody's birthday party, and we went out back, and then we found this random treehouse in the woods. It was kind of run down. It wasn't like it was a brand new treehouse, but it was already kind of falling apart, and so we started kind of, I guess just out of teenage boredom, we started ripping it apart even more.
Taking the panels off.
Yeah, yeah. So sorry.
I have no idea. I was like, hey, let's go out in the woods, because I didn't know you that well.
I remember what you said. You were like, hey, do you just want to walk around in the woods just for kicks?
And, yeah, that's a Nelsonism.
Yeah. And then it was just, you know, we ended up going to the same college and
same degree.
Same degree.
From Eastern.
Yep. So, yeah, man. So I guess since I've been doing most of the talking so far, I guess why don't you tell us about yourself, man? Like, you know.
Well, yeah, I live in Whitmore Lake, small town. I don't know. It feels like home. I don't don't really want to move away. I enjoy it for what it's worth. It's kind of a weird place.
Your parents, you live with your parents on this really cool house on the lake.
Yeah, not that I want to live there. It's what life has dealt me at the moment. But, you know. Well, I did live next door. That was kind of nice.
That's right, yeah.
Two-story, two-bedroom house to myself. It was too big, man. It was like, this is too much house for one person.
For a bachelor, right?
Yeah. No, we had some good times there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I graduated in 2006 from South Lyon. My specialty, I did a lot of the acting because I wasn't athletic. I was an only child. I never played sports with other people. I was like isolated in Whitmore Lake. So I was like, I didn't know an idea how to play anything. But, I'd water ski and I'd act, things like that. And then I went to Eastern and graduated in 2010 with a degree in electronic media and film studies, which is what Alex had. And then I went to Specs Howard after that. So actually, this podcast thing fits in with kind of our background.
Yeah.
This is probably the most related thing I've done in my field.
I know, right? That was one of the reasons I did it, is because I wanted to talk into a mic again. We worked at the radio station together, too, when we were at Eastern.
WEMU. Jazz, blues, and news. NPR. And that was a fun time. But it feels good to be back in the studio because it's something I always enjoyed. And in college, I had a radio show, the student radio, and it was called Let It Out with Nelson, and I played Led Zeppelin bootlegs for 2 hours.
We should mention that is another big Nelsonism, is like you have pretty much every Led Zeppelin bootleg there is. You can lecture. You could probably teach a class on Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Like all on your own. You wouldn't even need to really research anything. You would just be like, you could talk for an entire semester, just get up in front of the class and just talk about Led Zeppelin.
Bring in a mud shark and it can take
for some reason.
Yeah.
We're going to play some Zeppelin later for the break. So you were actually valedictorian at Specs Howard, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, I was there was a girl with me that had the same GPA, so we were both technically valedictorian. But that was like 40 kids in our class, and I was voted outstanding talent performance. I had the best on-screen talent. So
I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then you worked for the Oakland Press after Specs Howard. Was that after Specs Howard?
Yeah, I did an internship. Actually, Dick Kernan at Specs helped hook me up with a $50 a week internship, which isn't much, but I did the videography stuff for Heritage Newspapers in Washtenaw County, which no longer exists. They folded, but they're owned by the company that owns Oakland Press. So, I kind of shopped around and said, hey, if you want me to work in video at the Oakland Press, I'm interested. I wouldn't mind just, coming and checking it out. And they had started a online news show called News and Noon, just kind of like a 7-minute summary with some local videos, just so we could share our video content and talk about, a couple national things and mostly local stuff in Oakland County. So I ended up anchoring that and producing it. And, it is what it is. We used like Final Cut X, and we had a little room with a green screen. It wasn't anything special, but I enjoyed it. And I was trying to move up to TV. News event, and my original goal was to be an anchor at a station, but
I remember that. Yeah.
That just never happened. But I miss it. I enjoyed it, and I like the spontaneity of the news business. It was
well. You interned at Fox 2 as well, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. That was a fun time. I enjoyed that for like 3 months, and there were some fun times. It was an interesting internship because you'd go out. Some days you'd be inside, like, calling courts for requests for whatever. But the other days, I'd go out and there'd be a shooting or a, gas leak or, like, a drug raid. It's like you never knew what you were going to do.
It was pretty exciting. Sweet.
Yeah. No. That was a good time. I miss that. And actually, Roop Raj from Fox 2 bought me a Coney dog at Lafayette on my 21st birthday because I was out on a shoot that day. There was some I forgot the guy's name. There was like a big scandal in city council,
It wasn't Kwame, was it? Or
no,
Conyers?
No, it was like a garbage scandal or something.
Oh,
or,
okay. Because this would have been what? Like if you were 21, it would have been 2009. Yeah.
Summer of 2009, and I was that day. I was chasing this guy with a microphone, you know, to his car, and that was my birthday.
Wow, but, that's a good way to spend the 21st birthday. My 21st birthday, I went to the bar. and I didn't get drunk either. I just ended up hanging out with a good friend of mine, who I worked with at Outback at the time, Outback Steakhouse. And then for some reason I had quit Outback the year before, or 2 years before, shit. And for some reason, like, everybody from Outback was there. So that was, like, the last – I ended up spending my 21st birthday
with – You ended up doing the dishes again.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's and lately you've been in a is a web series or what's the deal with that?
Originally that's what we were calling it. Right now it's kind of what we're trying to do. It's a neo noir movie now.
It reminds me of Sin City. Like that's kind of the vibe that I get from it. And who's making it?
Justin Diemert. He went to Specs, and I didn't know him then, but I actually met him. He was my intern at Oakland Press, and the first thing I had him do, there was like some giant mushroom growing in someone's yard. We said, go shoot a video of it.
Like a giant
puffball mushroom. They like get really big and then explode. And,
yeah.
So we had to go shoot crap like that. But yeah.
Did it explode while you were there?
No. We just After Effects it. No.
He's like, that's where he got the idea for this.
Yeah, from the shrooms. But so I remember we were talking about filming and acting since we were both Specs grads. And I said, you know, I do some character acting on the side as a hobby. And if you ever have anything, just, you know, keep me in mind. Like maybe a year and a half, 2 years later, he called me up and said, he messaged me on Facebook. I think there's a part that, you know, in this thing I'm writing that you might be good for. So we set up an audition date and he was really impressed. And my character is basically a mobster it's called Bonnie and Clyde. We're not the actual Bonnie and Clyde. It's more of just, it's like, that's what they're known
it's
as.
It's like a nod
dynamic,
to the,
duo. And the girl I'm with is psychotic essentially. And I manipulate her, but she's the one who does all the crazy stuff. But we're trying to make this. Well, we're trying to shop it around eventually.
Right, to Netflix and stuff like that. That's
at least what I understand. But
and how much longer do you have to go on it? Like when's it slated to begin?
I think we're going
to
wrap shooting this summer, late summer.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, everyone works or they just have an outside life. So this isn't a paid project, at least until we secure funding, hopefully. But
Well, so you got that going. You acted in a couple other short films. I remember you were an extra in Harold and Kumar. Christmas.
3D Christmas.
Yeah.
It was like
at Somerset Collection, right?
It was in June, and we all had to wear winter outfits. And then the holding area was outside, so we're all in our winter coats. It's like 85 degrees out. That was really.
Did you ever watch that and see yourself? Or
you know, the camera when I watched it, I didn't watch the whole thing. I just watched that scene, and I was like maybe a foot out of the camera view.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't see Chelsea either.
Chelsea being your current ex-girlfriend, your girlfriend at the time.
Yeah. We had done it together through Ryan Hill Casting, I think.
And weren't you in – I might be wrong, but weren't you in Batman versus Superman 2, or am I thinking of somebody else?
Yeah, no, I was an extra in that.
That's right,
They cut my scene from the actual movie, but I haven't watched the deleted scenes and the director's cut, so I could be in there. I have no idea.
I watched that recently, but I didn't remember that you were in it, so I wasn't looking for
it.
Well,
I was like, so. I sat there for 3 hours or whatever the movie was. I'm like, it's not even in the damn.
Yeah. It's like I wasn't even in it, and the movie sucked, right? I want those 3 hours back.
But if you did watch, I don't know if there's a deleted scene, but you could definitely tell it was me because there's like a tenement building by the Masonic Temple in Detroit. It was a run-down, abandoned building. And I'm in the street with the hood up on a car, and I'm like working on it. in the street.
And it was Superman was the guy who was in the scene with you, right? Henry Cavill.
He wasn't in that scene. Oh, yeah. It was in another scene on a bus, and Superman was on it, or Clark Kent, and he got off. But I met him. I said, you know, we exchanged hellos.
So pleasantries.
Was, yeah. And he wasn't a dick or anything. He was fine. And then the director got on the bus and was talking to the extras for like 15 minutes.
Right. Just Zack Snyder. Yep.
Yeah. You'd never know the guy was Hollywood. I mean, just talking to him, he seemed totally normal, totally laid back, no ego, mm-hmm. at least when I knew him. And that was pretty cool. I don't know too much about him. I think he did 300.
He
right?
did, yeah. He did 300 and Watchmen and the yeah. Dawn of the Dead remake. And he's
I'm not
doing
that
Justice
familiar
League,
with
no.
his work, so it's like I didn't like have anything to say really. I wasn't like gushing over him. I was just
that kind of helps though. You know?
Yeah, this is nice. So that was a good experience. And the extra work, it's long, it's low pay, but you know the people that do it all have a passion for. Mm-hmm. So you know you do make friends. It's a relatively small industry in a way because a lot of the people you see on different shoots that I've worked with people that have been in like four different things mm-hmm. that I've been on. And it's quite a small, tight-knit community, I think.
The extra community?
Yeah, and just the film, at least in Michigan, it seems like everyone knows, you know, other people. And we're like, oh, yeah, I know that name or whatever. But
all right.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've kind of introduced you gotten acquainted with the theoretical audience, we have a small list of stuff here to whine about. I figure because like I said at the beginning of the show, like we you know all of my friends and I just the conversations just is there's whining involved. You know, I think most people as they just talk to their friends, they vent about whatever's bothering them or whatever. So. Was there anything in particular that you wanted to get into before I start reading topics off the list that we could bitch about here? And
well, yeah. I don't. What do you think about being told all your life to follow your dreams as a kid? I'm just curious.
What do I think about it?
Yeah.
Well, as a kid, I didn't really think. I was just kind of like, oh, well, okay. You know, like, I didn't really have much of a thought on it at all. It's like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do? You know, then yeah, I can do that. I don't really know what my dreams are, but yeah. I'll figure something out. I'm sure they'll come to me at the right time. And now I think it was a well-intentioned pile of bullshit, essentially. I don't think that, you know, people did it. I think really it was just they wanted people to be happy is really what it came from. And it wasn't like a bad thing, but it's just the problem is that, you know, they kind of, and by they, I mean the older generations, you know, that were in the culture that was kind of spouting this, they all gave the impression that it's like, it's, you're going to hit your life is going to have this sort of trajectory, this natural trajectory. And basically you're going to get what you want as long as you're working for it. And if you do everything right, it's going to come to you. And they don't really, you know, they didn't factor in certain variables such as, you know, a giant recession,
yeah.
you know, and, you know, just life in general, you know, it's just the things, it's a process and you don't, not getting what you want all the time is not a bad thing. That's the one thing that Americans don't seem to really, embrace that much, at least not like on a cultural level. It's sort of like if you're not getting what you want, if you haven't achieved success by a certain time or in a certain way, then not only have you really fucked up, but like a grave injustice has been done to you by the universe. And it's just kind of this vicious feedback loop with yourself. And, you know, you really just the way out of it, though, is just as you get older, you just kind of realize like that it's not it was bullshit to begin with. And it wasn't a personal thing. It was well-intentioned. And it's just people trying to, you know, parents trying to make their kids happy and wanting their kids to be happy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you just have to adapt to it, you know, and so that's what I think about it. And so I think it was bullshit, but I think as you get older, you kind of come to terms with it, and then you realize like it's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah,
you know.
I think you need to have some outlet that you enjoy. If you're not doing something you like, at least on the side, there's really
like this podcast or acting for you. Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a waste of time. It's not an inconvenience, to do something like this. I work on things for free because I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Like the acting stuff, I mean, of course, you want to make a living or do it, but that's quite difficult. I mean, it can be done. I know people that do it, but.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of different factors that go into it, and, it's, and everything has to line up. And the main thing is you have to keep at it. If you don't keep at it, it'll never happen, regardless of what happens in terms of those factors lining up. But what do you think of it though? Because you asked me. So what do you think of the whole follow your dreams?
I'm frustrated. I think at least it feels like to me that a lot of us, base our view of success on old principles that may not be the same for our generation. Like if you're not married by the time you're 30 or 25,
considered
a failure, you're not going to find anybody, or, if you don't have a house and a factory jobs at the house, it's not like it was 40 years ago.
Yeah. Or even 20 years ago.
Yeah. So, and that tuition costs too. It's like,
oh, it's a nightmare.
I mean, people have student debt. I'm lucky enough not to, but, it's like you're set up. We're behind the eight ball. I mean, going to college, it's like I almost now looking in hindsight, it was always kind of like people look down on the blue collar jobs, but the tradespeople make decent money. I mean, I wish that had been more encouraged by people when I was in high school. I don't know if I would have pursued it, but electricians, plumbers, they make good money.
Right. I remember hearing it, but
it's a respectable career, really.
Yeah, it totally
doing
is.
An important job.
Yeah, it's needed is what it is. It's needed. And I remember hearing they had vocational school in high school and they encouraged it, but what they encouraged more because there was a big asterisk, in front of that. And that was basically, if you're not going to college, this is a good path for you. Yeah. Like, if you don't want to go to college, and most 80%, if not more, of the people that I went to school with, it was like, I'm going to college because that's just what you do after high school.
Yeah.
That's the process.
At least for me, I was like, by 25, I'll have a career, I'll be good. I'll have a, steady girlfriend or whatever. And it's like, mm-hmm. You didn't realize, I think when you're young, you just have that optimism and you just, expect things will work out. Sometimes they do for people, sometimes they don't. I think it's just the luck of the draw.
Mm-hmm.
And connections and everything is a big factor. But you just never know. And I wish I had figured that out, At least now I feel like Matt Foley, Chris Farley's character, is more of like the counselor that I would have wanted to hear in high school. You're not going to amount to
took me a second there. That's the van.
35 years old. I am divorced.
Well, you're 29, so you're not.
Yeah.
It's
mental. It's just like, oh man, I'm almost 30. What am I doing? Yeah, I'm at a crossroads because I'm not doing the news. So, my other passion's acting, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I'll go with that.
But yeah, you're not really sure what what sort of path you want to take at this point.
I considered working at a factory to make. If you get into something like Ford, you do get the benefits. You have to work temp, I think.
Right.
As for the agency first, though. But.
Well, that's basically how people get by nowadays is you find a gig. That's what I do. I'm working a night shift right now and I do this and I have my musical endeavors and I write and you find an income and then you pursue the things that you actually want to pursue on your own time. And then, hopefully they work out and, if they don't, then, it doesn't mean anything against you. It doesn't mean you're a failure. That's just what happened. But at the same time, it's like if you really want to be harsh about it, if you don't succeed at what you want, if you define it in a certain way. I remember there was this quote that I heard. It said, if at first you don't succeed, redefine success. And I thought that was a really healthy way of looking at it. Because if you hold yourself to, like you said, the outdated standards, of course you're going to fucking – what other conclusion can you come to?
And you see your peers doing those accomplishments and you're like, well, I'm 29. How come I don't have a house and three kids and a new car? It's like, well, not that I necessarily want all those things, but – you just wonder, you know, why you aren't to the point where you could be doing those. Because it's not like it's not like we're stupid. We got good GPAs, but I've learned that grades don't mean anything at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
I never realized that at the time.
School essentially was to, like, can you perform tasks, you know, even when you don't want to perform tasks. That was the what you're learning. And then it's sort of – there is some sort of – like, you know, sorting that goes on with certain – it's like if a kid is particularly gifted in one area, then they'll – you know, maybe push them or nurture them in that direction. But for the average, it's a, you know, it's, they called, you know, I mean, kindergarten, the first, everybody knows what fucking kindergarten is. I don't need to explain that. But kindergarten means like child garden. It's German. And it's just like, the idea was, you know, it was a factory term. That's the modern school system came about during the Industrial Revolution, and it was just like the factories. It was we need workers, and you're going to teach them all the basics, and you're going to put them out into the world, and they're going to go to work in the factories because they need to perform repetitive tasks over and over and over, and that's all we need out of them. Or they'll farm if their parents still do that. But it's getting back to that whole outdated thing. It's like the system really needs to be updated in so many ways, and I'm not smart enough to sit here and talk about how that needs to happen.
It seems like in England, there's a big test you take around 16, and it kind of determines your life path, whether you're going to be blue collar or white collar.
So it's like the SAT, but even more of a big deal.
It's more intense, yeah.
Yeah, because you have a friend who lives in England.
Yeah, that's young. How do you know what you're going to do with your life?
Exactly.
You have no clue.
Well, it's funny, too, because you remember being 16, and when you're 16, you think you know everything. You know, you think that, like, you feel like, why doesn't everybody treat me like an adult? I feel like an adult. I can drive now, and, you know.
And looking back, I'm like, man, I shouldn't have been in a relationship. I felt like I was married to you. I was too young at 16 now. You know, you look back.
That's, man, outdated expectations. But anyway, we'll get back to more whining in about 10 minutes here. We got another break coming up. I'm gonna try and turn around and still talking to the mic and get this music going, and I gotta get my phone going.
This
here
reminds me of Mr. Hansen's radio classes at Eastern.
Oh yeah,
those
dude,
good times.
I didn't have that nice studio. I was stuck in the closet when they're like nothing worked. I was talking to the mic and I'm like, I'm pretty sure this isn't even on, but like I don't know. So
the board's not plugged in,
but anyway, screw you, Wi-Fi. All right, here we go. We're going to I'm gonna turn the mics off. We're going to play some music, two songs, and then we will be back. So we'll see you in about 10 minutes. Hey, we're back. And for those of you listening on the stream, it's been like 1 second. But for those of you listening on who are listening right now live, you just heard a band called Greta Van Fleet, and what we're going to talk about them in a minute. But holy fuck, that is some real music right there. I mean, that is just that gets my dick hard. I swear to God,
Zeppelin reincarnated.
Yeah,
three of their members still alive, right?
Yeah. But yeah, we were talking over the break, and there was one thing that we forgot. There was one story about each other that we wanted to tell that we didn't get to at the beginning. And we'll blow through it because we know, you know, nobody gives a fuck who we are. So, for my 24th birthday, we went. We're both big John Hughes fans. Probably you more so than me. Like, I like him, but you're like, you're all about him.
Uncle Buck, and, you know, Vacation was written by him. Mm-hmm. And
Ferris Bueller.
And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is my favorite. I love that movie. I can quote that movie.
So does Emma Stone.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. She asked, in fact, well, I won't get into that. She was asked at one point, you name the one performance that's, like, inspired you more than others? And she said John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Mrs. Cupper, our drama teacher in high school, there was a thing where she said, you know, bring in a scene of your favorite actor, show it for, you know, people. And I brought in a scene from the hotel room in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where John Candy does his little monologue after Steve Martin just rips him.
Oh, yeah. I like I like me monologue.
And I said, this is good acting. I mean, and Mrs. Cupper, I had to sell her on it. But I said, this is solid, you know? And eventually she's like, oh, yeah, I guess.
So you did win her over on
that? Yeah, but John Candy, man, I wish he was still alive. He was such a positive influence, I think, on the film industry. He's just a genuinely nice guy, too, mm-hmm. from what I've never heard anything bad about him.
Well, the thing is what we did for my 24th birthday, which was in May of 2010, we went to Chicago and we hit up a bunch of because a lot of the John Hughes movies were filmed in Chicago, which was his hometown. And what did we do? We saw the Home Alone house, the Uncle Buck house, the Ferris Bueller High School, yeah, and the Breakfast
the
Club High School.
Of the high school.
And then the crowning achievement was we went, it was me, you, and another friend of ours went to, we stayed the night in the hotel room from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
The Braidwood Inn, which is now a Sun Motel. It's the shittiest place I think I've ever stayed.
Yeah.
And we drank, what was that? Sailor Jerry spiced rum.
Yeah, like the woman said, I can't even remember the proof, but it was something ridiculous. And the woman sells it to me. And we're younger at the time. I remember she was like, be careful with this. And
there were three of us sharing like a queen size bed or something.
Those aren't pillows.
We were going to get all bed bugs. Place was gross. That was fun.
Yeah, no, that was a good time. So anyway, yeah, that's one more story about us. That's probably like the coolest thing that we've, the coolest collective memory
that
we have.
That was a good time.
But yeah, so Greta Van Fleet. Now, the people who are listening on the stream didn't hear the song, so we'll tell. They're a band from Frankenmuth, and it's so funny because I'd never heard of them, and then about a month ago, I was in Wisconsin visiting my dad's family. My aunt brings them up to me, and she's like, they're from Frankenmuth, so I think you should check them out. I get home, and I forget about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool, but I don't. And then I listen to the riff, and I see they come on, and I'm like, this is really fucking good. It's like so good that I'm jealous of them. You know, like it's just like it's so undeniably good. It was like these guys are so good that they'll, you know, they're gonna end up doing it for a living. You know, they'll have a following. Whether they're selling out stadiums is irrelevant. They're going to be playing this for as long as they want to. And then they sound just like Led Zeppelin. So the first person I thought of was you, and I sent it to you. And now you're creaming your jeans over them as well. So, but this kind of gets into a different, in our next topic, which is music. And we were talking over the break, and I was like, you know, because I'd never heard of Greta Van Fleet prior to a month ago. Ever since I heard of them, like I said, I saw them on the Riff. They're fucking everywhere now. They're really taking off.
I mean, social media now just is wildfire.
Yeah, and you are going to see them now in Cleveland in August, and they're playing with another band called the Glorious Sons, who are from Canada. I heard about them about 2 years ago. They're a really good fucking millennial rock band. And this is one of the things that I've talked about with some of my musician guests is that there isn't a millennial flagship rock band.
No.
And we really fucking need one.
Green Day Generation X.
Oh, yeah. Green Day was, they were like 20. They were a 90s band, man. That's when they broke.
Yeah.
They became like...
Black Keys are like Generation X too, probably by now.
They're pushing 40 now. Wow. Like they're like late Generation X, I would say, for Black Keys.
Well, it's like John Lamey on Facebook, a friend from high school. Yeah. He had a post about listening to Billy Joel in a supermarket, and this girl was like, I don't know who that is. And she's like, I only listen to modern music.
But like I remember, dude. Celine Dion, it's Celine Dion, you know, it's corny as fuck, right? But she sang at the Billboard Awards in 2017, which I don't watch the Billboard Awards, but I heard about it because she sang My Heart Will Go On for the 20th anniversary of Titanic.
Oh, yeah, everyone knows that song, I would hope.
Yeah. And she sang, and she sounds really fucking good. I mean, it's, like I said, it is for what it is. She's a good fucking singer. She's an amazing singer. There's something even in Celine Dion, which was, you know, fluffy pop music in the 90s, there's a substance to that that it seems like is missing. And it's not just, you know, an old guy like me bitching about what the kids listen to now. There really is some sort of substance missing from a lot of the mainstream pop music because it's got to be lowest common denominator to make the money. Yeah. It's a factory. It's a lot of it is Max Martin. It's all the same guy.
Dumb it down in a way to appeal to the mass audiences.
Yeah, like I said, lowest common denominator.
Too much brain power. People would go, ooh.
Yeah, but the thing is like I really – we've rock kind of had like those every decade. There was a wave of new bands that came in. It was usually at the beginning of it. You know, it started in the 50s, and then the 60s happened with the Beatles, then the 70s with Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and all those guys, and then disco happened, and then it kind of fades out, you know, over the course of the decade, and like in the 70s disco happened. But then the 80s rolled around, and you had the underground, you had the hair metal thing going on up top, but then you also had underground shit with like Metallica and like the Pixies and all the punk stuff going on. And then that exploded into grunge and alternative in the 90s. Then in the 2000s, you had the which is the kind of the last sort of supernova of good rock bands, which was like, you know, the Strokes and the White Stripes and the Black Keys and all those guys. And it really just has died off. Ever since the internet got big, we haven't had another one of those flourishes.
Looking
flourishes.
Back to my high school music that was popular, I'm like, this was better than the stuff now, and I didn't like it then.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like something like, I'm trying to think of. Like
there I was, even like My Homes. We used to sing that on the folk bus in high school.
There's always the fucking nostalgia factor, yeah. You know, going into it. Like I said, just it might just be because we're getting older and like, you know, we don't like it just because it's not what we grew up on and it doesn't remind us of being young. But it's like I really do feel like it's deeper than that. There is something fundamental that it used to have, and it's always been a product. That's the like, one thing. It's like it's always been a product. It's not the point. There is something else at work in there, in the work that went into it, I think is what it had to do with.
I think
nowadays it's just they just like you said, it's a factory
to make money.
Yeah, like exactly.
The thing I love about bands like Zeppelin or Black Sabbath is they captured their energy in a bottle, and it was genuine. They believed in what they wrote. They you know, well, Zeppelin produced their own stuff, so they had complete control. They wanted their sound. They got the sound they wanted because Jimmy Page produced it, their guitarist.
And that wasn't just like, I mean, the moment was lightning in a bottle, but that had been building. They had been playing since they were kids, and that took years and years and years of work to get to that point. And so nowadays it's just sort of, you know, people like, you know, fucking Miley Cyrus is usually the one, but she's not even really that big anymore. Like,
no. Who's,
you know, even people like The Weeknd, you know, that guy's got a really good voice, and but it's all him, and it's just sort of, you know, they just kind of put out these songs, and it just doesn't seem, it's all about partying and getting laid and having money and all this, and rock was a really blue collar, it still is, like a blue collar music. And
I mean, the lyrics, I mean, in the 70s were, I mean, there's always, you know, lame stuff, but some of them are quite deep and poetic too, which is, mm-hmm. I mean, you don't get that now as much.
Definitely not like on mainstream radio, but I mean, like the internet. You know, if you look for, you can find just about anything on the internet if you really want to.
It seems like
a lot
of bands in like Norway and Finland are really into that old sound, but you don't hear them here.
Yeah, over in Europe in general,
Sweden,
like the band, like I wouldn't call them like seminal or anything, but they're a good band. Royal Blood, they're from England, and they have some good songs. But again, like I do feel like with them, there's. As far as the passion and the work that goes into it, like they're not really trying to say anything. They're just kind of rocking out, which is cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But like Greta Van Fleet, for me, like it has a semblance of that substance. And I think it's because they've been doing this since they were kids. They've been around for 5 years already.
And they're brothers, so the three of them are.
Yeah.
They really seem to have some sort of
chemistry.
They can communicate
right?
on stage too. Well, I think they just, you know what the other's going to do, so they're able to gel. But I'm really looking forward. I got tickets for $10 to three bands in Ohio, and I got my friend Justin, who's from the web or the not oh, series the yeah. the project. I don't know what to call it anymore, but the next big thing. And his girlfriend Kate, they're going to go down with me.
Oh, that's
to
cool.
Cleveland. Cleveland's the closest I could find, other than Riff Fest and you know, DTW. Pine Knob.
That's funny. They're not coming to Detroit. Oh, they are coming to Pine Knob, huh?
Yeah, but it's like five bands I don't care about plus them. I'm like,
That's the Five Finger Death Punch and Hailstorm
and like,
show, right?
It's not my thing. So,
My point is, summing up everything that we were just talking about the whole, we haven't had a rock. I can't pronounce the word flourish. I think that's getting it right.
Flourish.
Yeah. We haven't had one of those in almost – we have been long overdue, and we need another wave of that, of just, you know, music made by blue-collar people, and it's just commenting on the – there's so much to say nowadays about – about where we are as a culture and as a nation and as a planet, you know, as a species.
Yeah. I love the bands that don't focus on, you know, their message is what they want it to be. It's not what, you know, the suits at a record company want it to be.
It's not focus group.
And I don't like
at least
when,
not crazily
yeah,
so.
Yeah, like the Black Keys, what happened that bugs me is like Danger Mouse. It's just the production. It got overproduced and, you know, things evolve, but I miss the rawness of their old stuff. And it's just like got to the point I just lost interest. But
yeah, well,
hopefully that doesn't happen to some other bands that they, you know, it's the album oriented rock that they can produce a whole record instead of the single thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And say, listen to this record.
Yeah, the entire record is the product instead of just having a single. I mean, they used to do that. They've been doing that. It used to be worse before the internet because you would go and buy a CD because of a single, and then the single is the only decent song on the CD, and you just spent $15 on this shitty CD and one good song.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's give and take. But I really, really hope that like a band like Greta Van Fleet and then other bands like them are kind of starting to come up again, and they're young and they're just fucking ready to do it, and we just get another big push in the Trump years from rock, you know, because that's one of the things that like, you know, people, you know, I'll say it like white Americans in particular, like. A lot of people don't know how to say fuck you anymore. And I mean, I say that I'm not a, you know, badass guy at all. I'm a, you know, I'm totally subordinate, you know, but, but the thing was about like, what was like, great about a lot of those, but what was great about those bands was that they had the ability to really just kind of say fuck you to the people that deserve to hear it, you know, the powers that be or whatever. And I don't know if I necessarily get that vibe from Greta Van Fleet or any other band that I like, young band that I can think of right now, because we're all dependent on the corporate state now. And if you don't appease them, then you don't get to go anywhere.
I mean, they are signed to a record label, but I'm not familiar. I think Wava Records or some other record label too. But
yeah,
I don't know anything about that.
So I, you know, I may not have much room to comment on that, but that is one thing I've noticed is that, like, you know, a lot of the best bands kind of have this fuck you attitude that really isn't prevalent anymore. You know, where it still is prevalent, like way prevalent, is in rap and hip hop, and it's always been that never changed. That, you know, so that I will say that, but I don't really listen to rap, so
yeah, I like the old school stuff.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with any of it, really. I don't.
Our friend John in high school, I knew all the lyrics to a song called Oh No with Snoop Dogg and I think 50 Cent.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, oh, my God, Nelson's like the last person I would expect to know all the lyrics. He's like, if you don't know, I never hesitate to shoot a hoe. Like, yeah. But
yeah, that doesn't work.
And then I had listened to, like, you know, doo-wop in high school. And
that's right. Yeah, you were all about that. So.
I still have a huge collection of 50s music.
I don't know. I just want basically I want the music to, you know, of the day or whatever mainstream to just be something. I want it to cater to my needs and my, you know, what I like and all that, basically. And I'm being I think the word's facetious right now. That sounds overly entitled, but I'm just trying to be funny, and it's not fucking funny, so I'm going to stop talking. But
so I just wish you could turn on the radio and not, you know, hear. I mean, it's never going to – I don't know. Maybe it would happen. But, you know, not hear the same 10, 20 songs repeated on repeat for 8 hours a day. Like, classic rock radio sucks.
Yeah, that's another sign of how fucking stale
it's all
it's
like Clear
is.
Channel and I Heart Radio.
Yeah,
it's
like,
man, corporations have ruined
the entire economy. Yeah, that's what happens when you get monopolies and the same five fucking people owning everything. Yeah. It's just
it's
about consolidation.
It's why I stopped listening to FM radio mostly. I just listen to CDs, you know? I mean, yeah, because I mean, my car doesn't have an MP3. I'd have to put the cassette down.
Yeah, you got this. Yeah, Nelson drives a Crown Vic, so with a cassette player in it.
Well,
so.
It's got
and you have a radar player. Detector. I hope I'm not giving anything away by saying
it's
that.
It's legal.
Yeah.
No, people think it's like they're so paranoid because they. I mean, it's not even like a cop car color and. you know, they,
yeah,
they like pull over in driveways, wait for me to go by, and it's like people go like 18 miles per hour on
they
my
think
street,
you're,
it's 25.
What's the term? Not undercover. They think
narc.
You're a,
no.
Yeah, a narc.
No, in Dearborn, they actually use those as undercover cars. Same color, same rims.
Oh, so that's why. Yeah.
You know.
I never knew that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like the big cars, so.
But you still got that, and you said you're going to drive it until you die, or until you die, until the car dies,
well, almost,
whatever happens first, I guess, right?
I died in it 10 years ago when I passed out from low blood sugar while driving it.
Didn't you hit a deer?
Well, that's another time. The car's taking a beating.
Yeah, shit.
But, yeah, it should have been my coffin a couple times.
Damn. Well, I'm glad it wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, we got about 4 minutes left here, so I guess we'll wrap it up. You know, what do you have going on, man? Like coming up, you know, I guess you got the web series and you know,
this Saturday I'm working on a shoot for it. I'll be working crew. I'm wrapped with my acting for now.
Okay. Are you in the kind of in the market for anything else acting related?
Yeah, but I need to get headshots. I need to take an initiative and do some things myself. Mm-hmm. There's some talent agencies. The problem is it seems like if you're working a full-time job, a lot of the gigs are during the day for that stuff. And it's like,
yeah, it's hard to reconcile.
It's like, how do you do it? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I'm kind of debating what to do.
Yeah.
I would love to do some commercials and whatnot. There's a Tower Inn commercial. I was in like 3 years ago that aired.
Yeah, the Tower Inn.
My cousin was like, is that Chris? And I'm like raising a pint of beer. But yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah. So, thanks for being on, man. And this is nice talking
we'll have
to you.
To do it again.
I've already got a couple other friends lined up, and then I'll have you back. What my plan is to want to have some friends of mine on solo, like me and Chris did today, and you know, so we can just you know, you guys get all the time, you know, just me and you. And then once I've had a couple people on, I want to start mixing and matching. So we'll definitely have you on again for another discussion. And or not. but yeah, so thanks for listening, everybody. I will be back on Monday at 7, the usual scheduled time. And then I'll also be back the Wednesday after that, which would be August 2nd. And you know, you can check the Facebook page for updates and things like that. Chris brought up a great point today. I should have a link to the live show on Facebook before the live show happens.
Yeah,
I usually post about it after, which I'm going to do tonight. But that's something else that I need to. Like I said at the beginning of this, I'm going to learn as I go, and so I've just kind of been adding shit on as I learn. Oh yeah, I should probably do that, you know, in that way. And
yeah,
and so, so I will see everybody on. Monday. And Chris, thank you again for being here. Like I said, we'll have you back provided you want to come back.
Oh yeah, I'll be back.
and yeah, so thanks for listening, everybody, and have a good night.